a brave new GM.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. It's one of the largest bankruptcies in U.S. history, and it may turn out to be one of the speediest. General Motors filed for Chapter 11 just over a month ago, and last night, a federal bankruptcy judge gave the green light to its restructuring plan. Under it, GM would sell its best assets, like Cadillac and Chevrolet, to a new company, mostly owned by Uncle Sam. Just like with Chrysler, creditors could challenge the plan. So could people with liability claims against the automaker. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Judge Robert Gerber says the new GM will be free from liability claims that predate the automaker's bankruptcy filing. That means anyone injured or killed by a defective GM car before June 1st would be far less likely to receive full compensation. People injured after June 1st would be able to sue the new company. Consumer advocate Joanne Dorshow directs the Center for Justice and Democracy.
This new company has cherry-picked the kinds of new liabilities it's taking.
Attorney Steve Jacobowski represents five people who say they were injured because of defective GM cars. He says his clients could be left in the lurch because the U.S. government doesn't want the uncertainty of existing claims.
I think they're acting like a hedge fund. They're acting with a cold, calculated economic view of costs and benefits.
Creditors and consumer groups have until noon Thursday to appeal the bankruptcy ruling. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Oil prices are sliding this morning, down below $64 a barrel. Here to help us make sense of it all is Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. We've got him live. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Stacey.
So oil's wild ride continues. What's going on this time?
Well, you're right. We were at $145 a barrel last summer, down to about $30 a barrel this spring. It reminds me of a dieter always striving for that perfect weight and overshooting it to the upside and downside. I think investors just got a little bit too optimistic about the economic recovery in the emerging markets, and now we're undoing some of that optimism, but we'll probably end the year around $65 in our opinion.
So you're expecting that oil prices will continue to climb?
Well, that they will be higher, certainly, than we'll probably end up bottoming out around $60 per barrel once investors are a little bit worried about the economy. But I think come to the end of this year, 2010 will look a bit more optimistic for economic growth as well as earnings recovery.
What about a possible second stimulus package coming from the government? Will that help the situation at all?
I think we've been talking about a second stimulus package for a little while. I think certainly the government, like many on Wall Street, underestimated how strong this unemployment trend will be going. Our expectation is we could see unemployment averaging above 10% through the third quarter of 2011. So I think we probably could hear more of a second stimulus package.
And finally, we're on the cusp of a new earnings season starting on Wednesday. What are we expecting to see there?
Well, here's a perfect example of less good might be bad. We're expecting to see about a 17% year-over-year decline in earnings for the companies in the S&P 500 versus a 40% decline in the first quarter, but things should be getting better as the year progresses.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research, thank you.
You're welcome.
And those low oil prices have the markets singing the blues this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off a quarter of a percent. The NASDAQ is down 0.4%. The S&P 500 down 0.3%. European markets are also down, and so were Asian markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
The NBA Summer League kicks off this week. The event is meant to show off basketball league's younger talent. There is a limit, though, to just how young that talent can be. NBA rules won't let players go pro until they're 19. Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad joins us to talk age limits. Hi, Diana. Any young players catch your attention in the draft this year?
this teenager from Spain named Ricky Rubio, he can shoot the lights out of the ball. And the new rule of the NBA, instituted back in 2006, is that you can't come right out of high school anymore, which was Kobe Bryant and Tracy McGrady and Kevin Garnett and a lot of the great players of the last 10 years came right out of high school because that's what they were born to do. And Ricky Rubio just falls under it because he is going to turn 19 in the calendar year of his draft. But you know when he started playing professionally in Europe? He wasn't even 15.
Well, it seems like having a limit on age might be a good thing, giving the kids a chance to go to school.
You know, it's fair enough if you're talking about an entire generation, a whole population of people. You know, kids should go to college. You know, I'm sure you and I believe that. But on the other hand, it takes an exceptional player to make it out of high school right into the pros, into the elite of the NBA. And we can name them on just a couple of hands, the exceptional players who over the last 10 years, we mentioned Kobe and Kevin Garnett. These guys didn't want to go to college. They wanted to make that money for their families before their knees got injured. You know, the lifespan in these leagues is very short. And, you know, what other profession? Are you only going to have 5, 6, 7 years to make all the money that you can possibly make?
Do the colleges benefit from having these kids there for a year? Is that maybe part of the motivation for the rule?
I think David Stern wants to prop up the NCAA. This is his training ground of all these players, and he wants to give a wink to all those top college programs to say, don't worry, we're not going to take the young kids. We're going to shove them right into the NCAA, and all you people can make millions of dollars. The coaches, as you know, most of them make more than the presidents of the universities.
How likely are they to raise the draft age to 20? Is that something that's really likely to happen or just something that's on the table?
They don't call David Stern the czar for nothing. When he wants to implement programs, it gets done. So I don't know that it'll happen this year, but I think that if Stern wants it done, it'll get done.
Marketplace Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad. Thanks, Diana.
Stacy, my pleasure.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacy Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.